Okay, this week's parsha, Parsha's Bo. I think the first thing to observe is that the Torah saw fit to separate the 10 plagues into two different parshas. 7 out of 10 are in last week's parsha, Parsha's Ba'era, and 3 out of 10 are in this week's parsha. And you know, every parsha represents a whole different lesson that God wants to teach us. As we mentioned already, I refer our audience back to what we said in Parshas Vayechi, that the breaks between the parshas were space to contemplate, and then the next parsha is a whole new lesson, a whole new level. So that means that the three later plagues are a whole different level than the first seven, and we say something we have to explore. Right? There's a common denominator between the plagues that they are all called darkness. For instance, the last three plagues, I mean to say, they all share a common denominator of darkness. For even the, first of the three, locusts, so the Pasuk says very openly, it's going to cover the ground, the eye of the earth, and we're going to come back to that concept in a second, cover the eye of the earth, and you're not going to be able to see the earth. Right, so there's like darkness that the earth, will become invisible, and like the way Rashi describes it, explains the Pesukim. It's amazing that if you take a satellite view of Egypt, like you would see solid black, the solid black of the locust everywhere where the Egyptians lived, and where the Jews lived, you wouldn't see that solid black. It would be like a map. You'd be able to tell where the Egyptians live from a satellite view, because where there were Egyptians, you would see solid black, you wouldn't be able to see the earth itself. And, and where the Jews live, you'll be able to see the earth. An amazing thing, right? The earth will become invisible, right? The, then there's the, the next plague, the plague of darkness per se, darkness, right? Where you couldn't see anything, and except the Jews, they had light, right? And then, in the final plague, the plague of the firstborn, it happens in the middle of the night. Right? There's a common denominator of darkness, darkness in these last three plagues, something which is for sure not a coincidence. It's something that we need to try to, get to the core of the issue as best as we can. Now, the Torah saw fit to put these three plagues together with the story of the Exodus. Right, that these three, last three, are in the same parasha together where the Jews actually leave Egypt. Right, so we know that the whole Exodus is called Pesach, right, the holiday of Passover. And why Pesach? Because in the final plague, really the final plague leads into the Exodus, because the final plague happened Seder night, what was to be that year and for every year afterwards, Seder night. So the final plague, the plague of the firstborn, is on Seder night. And on that night, God passed over the Jewish people. Passed over, right? And what does that mean? So Rashi explains, right, that, if you would, again, take a satellite picture, I'm putting a few of my own words to explain Rashi's message, right? If you would do a satellite photo of Egypt, right? You would see Egyptians dropping dead in a straight line, as if, the force of death is coming, let's say, just arbitrarily, let's say from east to west, whatever. I don't remember which line, but it was like a straight line clear that from one direction to another, all the Egyptians along that line were dropping dead, and they, falling like dominoes in that straight line. And if there was a Jewish person on that, in the way, so as the death force jumps over him, and the Egyptian behind him, drops dead, as if, it's so the death is happening in a straight line, jumping over Jews in the way and continuing. That's Passover. That's what I say, I will pass over you. No. That's something which needs to be understood, right? And that's the whole holiday is called Passover. God passed over us, right? The problem is, right, that there's a Jew in the way. Well, why does the death force have to go in a straight line that would be necessary to jump over the Jew? chart a windy path, go around the Jew, go around him. What is it? Passing over, jumping over. Right? So I said, Diluk, it's a jump. Jumping over. Why jumping over? Go around him. Right? So let the Egyptians not drop dead in a straight line configuration. Like, why does it have to be that way? What's the message? That it's in a straight line? If there's Jews, we'll jump over the Jew. Let it not be in a straight line, or go around the Jews. All things called Passover. It's like there's a message here. There's a message for all generations. We were jumped over. So we have to get to the core of it, because this is the whole holiday. It's the holiday of Passover. God jumped over us. Right? It had to be this way. The Jews should drop that in a straight line comparison. You jump over the Jew. It has to be that way, Dafka. Something which needs to be understood. So I just want to go back to, again, the beginning of the parsha, right? Where obviously something very interesting is afoot, because God says, I hardened Paro's heart. This is special, because Paro really is broken already. I hardened his heart, so you should see how I play with Egypt. It's like a special revelation over here. It's nothing to do with the pragmatics of taking the Jews out of Egypt. You have to break Paro in order to take out Egypt. No, that happened already. Paro is broken already, right? It's all about a special revelation, and we have to decide what that special revelation is. Right. So, going back to the plague of locusts, right? So, the plague of locusts, so God says, V'chisa aseinu aretz v'lo yuchal liros es aretz. It's going to cover the eye of the earth, and you won't be able to see the earth. What is this thing, the eye of the earth? The eye of the earth. I just say, you won't be able to see the earth. It'll cover the eye of the earth, and you won't be able to see the earth. There's like a double Lushan over here, something repetitious. Cover the eye of the earth, you won't be able to see the earth. But there's also this issue of, what is the eye of the earth? So aside from the double talk, what is the eye of the earth? Now we find this expression, eye of the earth, later in Chumash, right? In Parshas Balak, so Balak, complains to Bilam, he needs his help to curse the Jewish people. Hine am yotza Mitzrayim, the nation has left Egypt, v'kisa sa'ein aretz, and he's covering the eye of the earth. V'ne yushav mimul, he's, opposite me. Right? Same expression, right? When, a Gentile complaining about the Jewish people, that they just don't belong, we gotta get rid of them, covering the eye of the earth. Right? Alright, so to understand all this, right, our questions were many, but the answer to our questions lays all in one one basic principle that has a few details to it. Eye of the earth, the Svarim explain, refer to earthly perspective. Eye of the earth, I mean the earthly perspective. The way things look from an earthly perspective, which is the perspective that the Gentiles live by, right? Where it's all the Gentiles, they constantly, the way they express their Ein Haaretz changes from generation to generation, sometimes it's fashionable to say it this way, sometimes it's fashionable to say it that way, but it's always to say the way things look from earthly perspective. When the Gentiles were superstitious pagans, so they thought that, there are these natural gods. There's a wind god and a sun god, and these are what runs the world, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't see it that way, you're just not looking, that's clearly the way it is, and that's why we serve these forces. All right, they got a little bit more educated and a little bit less superstitious. They talk about worshiping nature. There's just the laws of nature, and that's the way it is, whether it's the physical laws or whether it's the laws of economy, and that's the earthly perspective. The earthly perspective. The way things look, to the average pedestrian on earth. Right? Whether it's, you look at it, that it's natural. This is what's natural. You don't think about divine providence and everything's bashgacha pratis. That's not an earthly perspective. That's a heavenly perspective. Being aware that heaven, that hakol min hashamayim, everything comes from heaven, yirat shamayim, fear of heaven. And awareness that our affairs are administered by heaven, by divine providence. That's a heavenly perspective. You're seeing it in a heavenly perspective, in a perspective that heaven runs everything. The secular Gentile perspective is an earthly perspective, that the forces of nature that we see on earth, whether you attribute them to pagan gods or whether you just consider these forces gods in their own right, whatever it is, that's what it is, and that's the way the world runs. Right? The Jewish people, when we were taken out from Egypt, right, the goal wasn't just, we should have regular, secular, political freedom, and the right of self-determination in a secular sense. That's not what Yetzias Mitzrayim was supposed to be limited to. If we'd be limited to that, then the whole story of Exodus could have been a lot shorter. It could have ended already in last week's parasha, even after five plagues, after Paro's already a broken man. Right? Yetzias Mitzrayim is not about having the political freedom and the rights to self-determination in a secular sense. It's about breaking past the whole secular way of life, to be God's nation, to be a nation that belongs to God, to be a holy nation, a nation that has a heavenly perspective, a nation that belongs to the kingdom of heaven, and therefore we have a heavenly perspective. That's what the Exodus is about. I'm going to take you to be my nation and I will be your God, says Hashem. That's what the Exodus is about. To get out of, it's freedom from earth, freedom from the earthly perspective, to be beyond, get out of that box that allows for all vices, to break out of that box, the freedom, right? The freedom from the whole earthly way of doing things and looking at things, right? To belong to God, right? To be a vehicle to also bring this godliness to the rest of the world. So we have to first break out of the box in order to bring this new power into the box, right? That's the Exodus, right? Vayetzeis Amli So Mitocham Lecherson is called eternal freedom. One can also read it as freedom from the world, right? To break past the world, right? And these are the levels that are being set in this week's parsha, right? But this is the secret for anti-Semitism. The Jew just doesn't belong. The Jew makes us nervous. Like, why do people feel that way about Jews? They don't feel that way about any other ethnic group. Like the Jew innately doesn't belong. Not that I'm not used to it. It's too different for me. It innately doesn't belong because we represent a whole different world order, a whole different perspective. They are from the Aretz and the Ein Ha'aretz. They're within earth and they have only an earthly perspective. And we broke past that box. We belong to heaven, right? We belong to God and we see things with a heavenly perspective. So they really feel that we're a threat to their way of life. We represent a whole different world order and a innately different outlook. Not just it's the same type of outlook, just a different perspective. Innately different. They're earthly perspective. We're heavenly perspective. It's innately and categorically different. That's why. And that's what Bullock says. That's what Bullock says. They are covering the eye of the earth. Our perspective and our way of life and our way of doing things and seeing things, they're covering that over. And that's and that's why we have to get rid of them. Excuse me. So, this is what's happening in this week's parsha, that in these last three plagues, right, there's a common denominator of darkness, right, that the darkness represents darkness for the Egyptians, not darkness for us. We are, living on a higher level that's a threat to their way of life. And this higher level, since they can't relate to it, it's darkness for them. Because they don't want to see things our way. They can't see things our way. Right? So, the darkness is a threat. Or put it this way, because we are a threat because from their perspective, we are darkness. We bring a different perspective that is invisible to them. That's what makes them so uncomfortable for us. And that's why they want to get rid of us. And that's what's being brought in. These are the levels that the Jewish people are absorbing in this week's parsha. And that's why by these last three, there is this common denominator of darkness. Right? So, you know, to further understand, right, you know, as we know, that we mentioned this already last week, the ten plagues are parallel to the ten spirit, the ten primary ways that God runs the world. And we know that the seven lower spirit, right, are from, those are the divine forces, you know, the forms of divine providence that give the natural order. The natural order comes from those seven forces of God's providence. But then there is the higher way, you know, as it were, you know, the very above nature root way that God runs the world, which are called Keser Chachma Bina, God's will and God's wisdom and God's understanding, as well, which is, you know, his plan, the plan behind the way nature runs, and the Jewish people are part of that plan, right? Rabba Sisisa, Atah Hashem Elokai Nefosecha Machshavosecha Eleinu, you've done so many wonders, Hashem, our God, all your wonders and all your thoughts are directed towards us, right? Directed towards us, right? That the, right, we are, you know, above nature. We come from God's master plan, and nature comes, you know, is a branch, is a lower branch of God's master plan. But, you know, the master plan includes nature, and also includes the supernatural. It's the master plan, and the Jewish people are rooted there. As it were, when God envisioned the world, said, what type of people do I want, you know, to be the people that the world is for? The Jewish people. Right? We're rooted in God's thoughts. We're rooted in God's plan. That's called, we're rooted above nature, because the plan, you know, the master plan is above nature. Nature's just a branch that branched out of the master plan, but miracles also come from that master plan. And we're rooted in the master plan itself. And that's what the three higher spheres represent, God's will, God's wisdom, and God's understanding. And that's what God says, Ki chachmaskum binas me'elam, the Torah that I gave you is your wisdom and understanding to show off in front of the nations, meaning my wisdom and my understanding, these higher levels, which are the master plan of reality, I gave them to you when I gave you my Torah, and I didn't give it to them. The Torah comes, the Torah is a manifestation, this master plan, and the Jews are rooted there, and that's what the last three plagues represent. The above nature, right? The master plan, that's above nature. Nature branches out from it, but miracles also branch out from it. It's categorically above, and the Jewish people are there. They are part of God's master plan. It was all for the Jewish people. God's thoughts are focused at us, right? These are the levels that are emerging by God bringing these three plagues to the world, that we absorb the positive energy from these plagues. That's, we have light when they have darkness. There's a setting up that we have light where they have darkness. They have their earthly perspective that has its limits, that reaches its point where it can't see any further. And over there, we have light, you know, from a higher order. They have light when they have darkness. And our light is invisible to them. So it's as if we make things dark for them because our light is invisible to them. And that's why they're always, you know, uncomfortable with us forever all, because we live on a whole different level. And that's what had to be played out all the way till the end. By the plague of the firstborn, it had to be demonstrated that we live on a different strata. We live on in a different dimension. We live on a whole different line. So as well, only it had to be demonstrated. All Egyptians were dropping dead in a straight line configuration. The fact that the Jew doesn't drop dead on that shows that the Jew lives in a different dimension. The Jew lives in a different dimension. If the line of death would have been a crooked path, right, where it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be demonstrated that Jews live in a different dimension. We say we all live in the same dimension, just God wasn't, you know, aiming at us. But the fact that it wasn't a straight line, but a Jew, you know, just doesn't die. It just shows that the Jew lives in a different dimension. Right, so it means God jumped over us. Right, God jumped over us. Say that, you know. Not around us, jumped over us to show we're in a different dimension, right? He has to show that he has to jump over us, not go around us. Go around us as we're all on the same level. Now he has to show we're on a different plateau. That's what he needs to jump over us. It looked like he jumped over us. It's to demonstrate that we live on a different level, right? We're not on the same level. That's the Chag HaPesach. The jump, that the Exodus coincides with us being catapulted to a whole different level, the level of God's master plan. We're not a branch of God's master plan. We are rooted in God's master plan itself. That's called to be rooted above nature, to be above the eye of the earth.